NorthNewsWI.com.
All right, so we always had to say, throwing it all away, is there nothing that I can say to change your mind? That might be what Trump was asking Pence to do when he said, throw away all the electoral votes. Can I please change your mind to do that? We're going to talk about that in the next segment, the conspiracy to overturn the election by getting Pence to throw away the electoral votes. But before I do that, let's just recap what we talked about in the last segment. We had, while all these lawsuits were happening from the election until the insurrection, you had all these Trump challenging every single vote. He said everything was fraudulent in the swing states. While that was happening, Johnson, Tiffany, Fitzgerald, our U.S. senators, our congressmen, Voss, everybody was tweeting in Wisconsin, we need to make sure every vote was counted. We need to make sure that there wasn't ballots being dumped somewhere in Milwaukee in the middle of the night. So we knew that was false. Tons of lawsuits in Wisconsin said it was false, but our elected officials, our Republican elected officials, including the three defendants in our suit, the most important Republican, which would be Ron Johnson and Tiffany and Fitzgerald, were trumping the big lie. So let's move on to Pence. What's going on, Kristen?
Well, let's talk about trumping the big lie. You know, who else is behind that? And I think one of the key players is Rudy Giuliani.
I agree with that.
I think Rudy was in the president's ear every day.
Well, mm-hmm. I think
that's two.
Yeah, he absolutely was.
Thirsty.
So for those of you just joining, every time we say these two words, Rudy Giuliani, we gotta drink because he was accused of being drunk and changing the course of the United States history.
yeah, we got that down. So now that we've talked about Rudy Giuliani and what was happening in Wisconsin to sow the seeds of doubt about the election, why don't we go back to the first hearing where they introduced the lawyers John Eastman and Kenneth Chesbrough, sure, and their plot to steal the election?
Yeah, we only got to in the introduction to part of the story in the first hearing. So can you go through what you've learned about this plot to hand Trump the election through Pence's counting of the electoral votes, guys?
Sure. Everybody thinks that January 6th is about the violence and the stupid acts of January 6th that we saw from a lot of people. And yeah, that's part of the story. But the real story is what was going on behind the scenes, okay? And it started early, okay? November 7th, Biden's declared. By November 9th, Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker in the state of Wisconsin, is asking the Legislative Research Bureau for a memo asking for advice about how much power the legislature, the Wisconsin legislature, controlled by Republicans, and we're going to get into all the interrelationships of these people in a bit, on what they could or could not do to affect the electoral count in the state of Wisconsin. Within days of Voss asking for that information and asking how electoral votes in Wisconsin are counted and what role, if any, the legislature plays, a guy named Kenneth Chesbrough, okay, who is a Wisconsin native, he is a lawyer in Massachusetts. He is, I think, kind of a fancy guy. He's argued in front of the United States Supreme Court, I think, a few times. Clearly no dummy. He pens off a memo to Jim Troupas. Jim Troupas is a Michael Beston Friedrich, retired Michael Beston Friedrich lawyer, former circuit court judge, and Donald Trump's lawyer in 2020. In the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. Thank you. It's right. And in both cases, in the recount case in Wisconsin. Anyway, Troupas gets this memo. Troupas and Voss and Reince Priebus and all these guys, all these Republicans hang in the same circles. And the memo from Chesbrough goes, here's what you need to do to create a set of electors and have presidential electors sent off to Washington for counting. And the scheme that was created by Chesbrough, and we now know from what the Select Committee has done with John Eastman, the lawyer from California, is create a set of alternate electors, fraudulent electors, in the states where Trump wanted to contest the election to set into motion a big contest on January 6th, 2021, when Mike Pence would be opening up the electoral votes.
If Mike Pence was even there, because remember that one of the plans was to have him not be present and have Grassley take it.
Conveniently gone, yes.
Right. The idea, the machinations that these guys, Chesbrough and later Eastman, go through to basically set up, to tee up this idea where they would basically ensure that either the seven states where that were in contest, the votes would be thrown out altogether, or the votes would be tossed back to state legislatures, which Mr. Voss was told by his legislative research bureau would not and could not happen because it would be illegal for the Wisconsin legislature after an election to do anything with the vote, to say, oh, well, we don't agree with that. We'd like to, we choose this guy. But the end contest, what ended up happening throughout the fall as this begins to take shape is this lawyer-driven paper conspiracy, okay, is John Eastman writes this memo. And he writes it on the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. I guess it was Donnie Trump's Christmas present. And it basically lays out how the January 6th vote should go. And in the end, what Eastman proposes is that, A, the Electoral Count Act, which was created in what, Mark, 1880-something, as part of a problem counting electoral votes. It was a constitutional or a statutory enactment of Congress designed to set up how this would work. Eastman just declares that it's unconstitutional and says all the power
worked pretty well for 136 years.
But. Exactly. But that aside, it's unconstitutional because John Eastman said so, and basically gives the ball in Eastman's mind. Vice President Pence, under the 12th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, has all the power in the world on January 6th to do basically whatever the heck he wants.
Okay, and this sounds positively Central American, or, you know, where it's, I don't know if we're in Venezuela or where we are.
Wish we'd come up with that when Biden was vice president.
Yeah, imagine that. So you really had these two different scenarios. Either one of them becomes a Trump victory, right? Depending on which path they end up taking.
Absolutely. Either if Pence recognizes the fake electors, which Eastman said he had the power to do, if he does that, then the fake electors vote and Trump wins because he wins those seven key states. Or if Pence decides, well, we have these disputes and I can't pick either one of them, so we're not going to count those seven states at all, however many 40 million people, 50 million people disenfranchised by the vice president of the United States, well, then no one has a majority. And what the Constitution says, when no one has a majority in the Electoral College, that is resolved by the House of Representatives. But
there's a bunch you want to trust.
Oof. Yes, but it's not even, you know, each district, we have 435 representatives. Each district doesn't get a vote. Each state House delegation gets a vote. And that is why they wanted it there, because there are more Republican majority delegations, even if it's 2-1.
Like red states, right? There's more red states than blue states, but the red states like Montana have like 500,000 people, and the blue states like California have like 50,000 or however, tons of millions of people.
Exactly. And you would have had it's bad enough when the Electoral College results in the president being selected by a minority of American voters. What you'd have if you had the states each voting once, you know, you would have an even more lopsided minority of people choosing the president had that path gone down.
It's downright devious what Eastman and Chesbrough came up with. I mean, it is really quite devious.
And that's why we heard in the hearing 2 days ago, that one dude, who was that one dude who's told Eastman, he's hung up on him and he said, you need to hire a really good criminal defense attorney, because what
can
you
I give
did,
you some advice?
One of Donald Trump's own, one of the original election lawyers who quit, along with the other election lawyers who refused to put in bogus, fraudulent legal theories in all these election challenges.
You said two scenarios. So let me back up and recap what we said. This was a scheme to have Pence take the election into his own hands on January 6th. He was either going to accept fake fraudulent electors, some of which came from Wisconsin, you know, in a darkened, opened up key room by Fitzgerald,
yep,
either accept them and hand the election to Trump, or reject all of them so that the election would go to the House of Representatives, in which the red states would overturn the blue states and Trump would win. What's the third way? There's a third way that this was going to go down.
Well, there was also talk of sending it back to the state legislatures, literally like putting a hold on the electoral count and say, well, let's send it back. But remember, the problem with that, and I'm sure we don't know because we're never going to know because our case was dismissed, so we couldn't get into discovery. But you got to think that all these guys are talking behind the scenes. And remember what I said at the beginning of this segment about Robin Voss getting an opinion from his own, you know, lawyers at the legislature saying, you have no power, Wisconsin legislature at least, to take any action post-election.
Okay? Once you set up the rules, you got to follow those rules.
You got to follow the rules that you set up. Now, we don't know what happened in other states, but my guess, Kirk, is that they realized that wasn't going to fly. Like, even that was something they couldn't figure out a way to justify. But what's amazing to me about this story, and it wasn't Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, snap.
It was that Vice President Mike Pence literally saved democracy, at least in 2021.
Hold on. It wasn't just Mike Pence.
Because
you stole my thunder here, so get your glass ready. It's that he talked to Dan Quayle, who said all of this
that's a
is
double drink.
You can't do this. And you know, Dan Quayle used to be like a nobody. Do you know who we used to hold in higher esteem than Dan Quayle?
Oh,
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
Kristen. Okay. Yes. But so all of these incestuous connections that you guys have alluded to and explained a little bit, can you tell us more about these Wisconsin connections between Eastman, Chesbrough, Troupas, Reince Priebus, Robin Voss, Cleta Mitchell? Yep. What about these connections?
Good.
And why are they
suspicious? These things down for the complaint.
Okay, so let me see if I can take you guys through it a little bit. One of the things, though, and we talked a lot about this the first time we were on, right, when the case had first been filed, and Kirk had this great analogy about how a bank heist works, and, you know, you got a getaway driver, and you got somebody who does the stick up, and you got somebody in the safe house, and all that kind of stuff, and that's basically how a conspiracy works. And one of the things, and think about this just from a common sense perspective, okay, to have a conspiracy, you want proximity to people and time, right? So you can play the game of telephone, right? You call up your old buddy, hey, we need this. Things get loose and certain things happen. So think about this. Robin Voss, the assembly speaker in Wisconsin, was college roommates with Reince Priebus, the former chief of staff to Donald Trump, who was unceremoniously tossed out on his ear, remember, in the first year of Trump's administration, probably because he was too square and his name was Reince. Okay. So then he goes off and he starts a company, an affiliate of a law firm called Michael Besson Friedrich, based here in Milwaukee, where Jim Troupas used to work until he was thrown out in his ear in 2010.
Why was he thrown out? Say it.
As I understand, it had to do with shenanigans involving the Michael Besson Friedrich's involvement in the map making in the 2010 reapportionment gerrymandering fight. But
they were caught refusing to turn over documents that the court had told them to turn over.
And the firm got in trouble, and so they basically threw Troupas, who'd been there forever. So then in typical, I guess, U.S. of A. fashion, Troupas became a judge, because that's what happens. And then
Scott Walker said, this is the guy I want.
And then he went into private practice and, of course, became Donald Trump's lawyer. But so you got Troupas at Michael Best. You got Reince Priebus, a former Michael Best partner who now runs a lobbying group called Michael Best Strategies in Washington. Again, all ears to the president. Then you've got Troupas and Chesbrough, who we talked about a few minutes ago, who have co-counseled, various pieces of election litigation around the United States. So they have a relationship, and Eastman is in that mix too. Okay. So they all know each other professionally and some personally. I mean, Reince and Voss were like this. And there's a whole article, I think it was in the Times, about this, you know, how Wisconsin was this power center when Trump came to power, because you had Paul Ryan as the Speaker of the House, right? And you got Reince Priebus as the chief of staff to the president of the United States. And you got Robin Voss, who is single-handedly with Scott Walker, bulldozed Wisconsin progressive politics and basically destroyed our state in a single swoop. And they all know each other.
Cleta Mitchell is part of Foley and Lerner, which is an international,
was
Cleta Mitchell was what? She was on the Trump committee to figure out what to do when he lost.
I need 11,000 votes.
Go ahead, Mark.
She was on the call with Raffensperger and was urging Trump on, telling him he was right, telling him to keep going. When he told Raffensperger, look, get me 11,000 votes. I don't care how you do it. That's what I need to win.
Which again, that in and of itself, you would think would be enough that people would hear that. But there's a lot of things where we thought people would hear it, or they'd see, you know, the hair dye running down the face of Rudy Giuliani. You know, you thought these things would disqualify them, and it did not. More to come. Unfortunately, all these people should have a reunion at some point in Wisconsin, or maybe Fort Leavenworth would be better.
Send them to Oxford.
Joe, Mark, you've been amazing, and thank you for being so patient. We're even costing you another minute's worth of time for one more weather alert. But I'm sure we will have some more conversations, and we'll have to come up with a new name, because otherwise I can't finish this show if we keep doing drinking games with Giuliani alone. Thank you guys. Appreciate it very much. All right. One more weather note to pass along, and that's a severe thunderstorm warning that includes Fort Atkinson, Jefferson, and Lake Mills. And that lasts until 8:30 on this Wednesday night. If you're listening live, with winds up to 60 miles an hour and quarter size hail possible. So please, again, take care. Meanwhile, those of us up here on Lake Wissota, where the sun is shining again after a very stormy afternoon, we will take a break and get set to wrap up the show in just a moment. You're up north. Is the sound of your voice calling?